The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today we will reflect on the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about the Lord's invitation to the kingdom. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
A new medical outreach in Corpus Christi. Through October, the Diocese of Corpus Christi, in partnership with Christus Spahn Health Systems, CareFan, will be providing basic health care services to the homeless of the area. The van will be located at the former Central Catholic School, 1218 Comanche Street. The facility will operate Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., providing flu shots, basic assessments, and referrals. And on Wednesdays from 8 a.m. till noon, primary care services will be offered along with education on COVID-19 and A1C. Another helpful outreach from Christus Spahn Health System and the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm doing well.
Good. Good. We're already in the throes of October.
We are. Time flies.
Yes,
it really does. Through a hot summer, and now, thank goodness, the weather's lightened up a bit.
I know. It feels good.
We're still praying for rain, and we can never have enough of that with the situation as it is.
Exactly. Well, this morning our gospel is from St. Matthew, so let's prepare our hearts and mind to hear his word today.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fatted cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Was mentioned in the beginning of this gospel, it said that the kingdom of heaven, or rather preparation for the kingdom of heaven, can be very much like the preparation of a wedding. Kind of an interesting thought.
Yes. I mean, this is another, as I'm sure we've said before, kind of the methodology, you might say, of Jesus, of using a normal situation and really applying it to his message, to his life, to his invitation to the kingdom, as you said at the beginning of our broadcast. what's interesting to note is, well, back up a little bit. Look at the way we get invitations. The invitation is very specific, where the wedding is going to be, who the participants are, the time, the reception time. But in these days of Jesus, there weren't those kind of specifics. And so an invitation was sent out probably months before, weeks before. No time, no place. And so then they know it's happening, but not until these servants are sent out to announce, okay, it's ready, come.
Ah, so no forewarning, really.
No forewarning, except the day,
right.
But the time and all that. So so I think that's interesting to note before we, so that we can maybe better understand the methodology here of the invitation. And so as they go out, then they're saying, okay, it's ready. Well, you know, right. I can't come, and all the excuses that were given. And so Jesus is using that, I think, for us today to say, you know, the invitation's always there to come to the Lord, to participate in the wedding feast, which, of course, he is using as the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
So we're all invited to the kingdom of heaven. And of course, we see the church today as the wedding place, the preparation. So it's also to come and practice your faith, come and believe, come and be with us, come and be a part of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Jesus oftentimes spoke of it as it is among you. So it's already here in seminal form, kind of the beginnings of it. So it's speaking of here, but also the everlasting kingdom of heaven. So we have to look at, in those terms, that the analogy that he's using of this wedding feast, he's also speaking of his kingdom. He's inviting us. The first group of people, of course, he has two sets of invitees
right. In
the end, but the first set of people were invited. They knew about it. And I think maybe that's us that have been around for a while. You know, we've maybe grown up in a good Catholic family, a good Christian family, had all the preparation, but we just kind of go about our life in kind of a laissez-faire manner. And so you see these people saying, well, I've got to go take care of my business. I got to go to my farm. I've got other things to do. It's really putting good things in place of something that's better.
Right.
And so it's a matter of priorities. And if we look at ourselves, you know, how many of us put our human activities in front of the activity that is divine? In our sense as Catholics, it is the liturgy, the Sunday liturgy, and we're speaking on a Sunday, so hopefully we're all preparing for Sunday liturgy today. That is the supreme sacrifice of the Lord memorialized there for us. And every Sunday, we are invited. We are invited to come and participate, to hear the Word of God, this gospel that we're talking about this morning, but also to receive the gift of the Lamb of God who sacrificed himself for us and gives himself in the Eucharist, fully present, truly present there. That's our wedding feast on earth every Sunday. And how many of us can say, well, yeah, but I have a soccer match, or yeah, we have a family gathering, yes, we have this, or I've got to work today, et cetera, et cetera. And we find no time to do what is better than the activity, which it might be good. I mean, playing soccer is good.
Being with the family is good.
Being with the family is great, but it's not the supreme. And this is where we fall short, and we fall into the category that Jesus is speaking of here today.
So we're not making time for God, in
essence. Or we're putting him second, you know. And we don't, I think many times in our minds, we don't see that. But in the reality of our actions, we are. And this is where we need to wake up. Many of us need to wake up to what we're doing. Not that we're bad people. I mean, you know, people, when they hear these things, oh, well, they're condemning me. No, nobody's condemning anyone. Right. It's a wake-up call. That's what the prophets were that roamed through the Holy Land before Jesus, waking people up, announcing that something is here among you that we want you to participate in, that we want you to know about. Or even in our own faith, We may have been through all the CCD classes and all the sacramental preparations, and we, okay, I'm in. Well, yes, you're in, but are you awake?
And are you continuing your journey?
Right. Are you vigilant? And so I think this is for us today, to put this in more modern language for us today, this is what Jesus is really calling us to, is to a new awareness of our faith, of what is in front of us. The invitation is there. Sometimes I think on the church's side, on us as pastors, sometimes our message may not be as joyful and as inviting as it should be. So I think there's always a dual responsibility here, because Jesus is, he didn't use, you're invited to a funeral. You're invited to a wedding.
Right.
So you're invited to something great. You're invited to something that is joyful, that will fill your life, that will give your life meaning, that you'll be there with your friends. And you could go on and on describing the beautiful characteristics of a wedding feast. Come to this. Come and participate. Come and be there. And so we misjudge, I think, in our lives, and that's the wake-up call to the first part, because there's another part to this gospel that we'll talk about in a moment. But we misjudge what is most important, kind of the eternal values, because we're so conditioned to the here and the now, the instant gratification, what serves me better today, we'll work on tomorrow, and we don't really put everything in the total context. And so this gospel today really calls us to judge properly what is most important overall in the long term of our lives. I heard someone, or I saw a quote once that said sometimes when we're talking about putting other things first, you know, like on a Sunday, busy working, busy doing this, busy doing that, I'll go later, et cetera, et cetera. This person said that some people are so busy making a living that they fail to make a life.
I've heard that before, too. And when you listen to it, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we're so
when
busy.
When you really reflect on
it. Right. We're so busy taking care of making a living or writing out invitations or busy with this, busy with that.
All the details.
All the details that we forget the very core of what we're doing it for.
Well, and when you think about, when you were talking about Sunday and if there are other things, doing work or going to the soccer game, the long-standing joke that I've had with my Protestant friends is, well, the Catholic Church gives you a lot of opportunities to go to Mass. You know, there's Saturday night, there's all day Sunday. There are lots of opportunities.
Yeah.
Instead
well,
of just
us,
one service.
Right. There's time for us all throughout the day and Saturday evening as well. So, yes, there's, you know, I mean, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, there's very little excuses for us not to respond every Sunday. You know, I understand, you know, with economic times, people sometimes are working two jobs. But I think, you know, I've seen people who have, in difficult times, made that step to say, this is a priority to me. And their bosses respect their decision so much that they'll give them that time. But we have to stand up, and this is where we are also witnesses to our faith in these little details. No, this is my priority. This is my invitation on this Sunday to come. And people admire that.
Like, be not afraid and ask the question.
Right. And people admire that, and they're really brought to a deeper faith themselves by watching our witness. So I encourage all of us to make that step.
We are going to take a short break, and then we will be back to continue our conversation. Please stay with us.
It's so big, it takes 3 days to really do it right. The Corpus Christi Cathedral's Fall Rummage Sale, October 30th through November 1st, beginning at 8 a.m. each day in the Parish Hall beneath the Cathedral, 505 North Upper Broadway, will be overflowing with quality furniture, housewares, appliances, toys, sporting goods, hardware, and more. All at great bargain prices. Proceeds from the sale will benefit the Cathedral Parish. Donated items should be clean, sanitized, and in saleable condition. No clothes, please. To donate items or get answers to your questions, call Donald Harris at Corpus Christi Cathedral, 883-4213.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, we were talking about how preparation of the wedding feast is very much like our preparation for the kingdom of heaven and making time to go to Mass on either Saturday evening or Sunday. But there was another part of this gospel in regards to the gentleman that wasn't dressed in the wedding garment. And when I was preparing for this, I read that missing the wedding garment is a symbol for repentance and the internal turning of the heart to belief in the Lord. So the man's going to face the consequences for his lack of preparation.
Right.
I never, just reading this gospel or listening to this gospel, I would not have thought about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I mean, Jesus is using this analogy to bring out principles and points for him to make for us. And, you know, I think if we were to look at this second part, because as I said earlier, there's two sets of invitees here. There's those that knew about the wedding and feast and were given the final summons. Okay, the calves are ready, the barbecue's done, everybody come. And of course, you're not talking about big cities driving across the town or to another town. You're talking about the people in the neighborhood or very, very small villages. And so it was not uncommon to say, okay, it's ready, come.
Drop everything.
But they had other. They had already set other priorities, and that's the point we were making the last time. So that's the first set. The second set is, okay, let's go out and invite, because the food's ready and the celebration is ready. Let's just go out into the byways and bring anybody, which really, you know, says to us how God invites all of us. It's not just a select group. We're not talking about a select group of people here. He's saying, okay, the doors are now open to everyone. And of course, that's what he came to bring, his message to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth, you know, go and baptize to the ends of the earth. So all are welcome. And so that's a grace. The invitation that Jesus is offering here is the invitation of grace, which is free. You and I cannot earn our salvation. You and I cannot, it's not dependent on us.
Right.
It's grace. It's total gift. This invitation is a gift. However, every gift implies responsibility. And so Jesus wants to remind us of that. You know, what good is faith if there's no action? Our way to heaven does not depend on the action, but it is the expression of our faith. They go hand in hand.
And we've talked about this before, about words are not enough, deeds are required.
Right, right. So what does Jesus see here in this man who is not properly clothed? You know, in the time of Jesus, it could be that a certain clothing was required and this guy didn't fit in. But he wanted to use it in a broader sense, in the sense of what is the clothing of those invited to the kingdom? And so as you spoke of, a conversion of heart, a change of life, to really to be not just worthy, but to express the kingdom in ourselves. And so he's speaking of the spirit by which we live. I think if we were to look at the clothing in terms of the clothing of love, which is a conversion, which is a call to repentance, forgiveness. The more that one loves, as we've spoken about so much here, the more we're out of ourselves. Jesus is not inviting us to a wedding feast to be selfish. He's inviting us to a life of communion, to be with others, to serve others, to bring that service even today on Sunday. I mean, we can go to Mass and be exteriorly proper. We can follow all the rules. We can say all the prayers properly. We can come with an exterior demeanor, you know, which fits properly.
Right.
But as Jesus also spoke about the interior life, what's inside? And that's what he's saying about this one man that he noticed was not disposed interiorly, and using the word clothing as an indication of that.
Well, and I think too about when you were saying about being in church and you're there physically and you're there exteriorly, are we paying attention?
Right.
Or are we thinking about our to-do list?
Right.
About what we're going to be doing when we get out of Mass?
Right. And so we're there physically doing all the right things, but interiorly, we might even not only thinking of other things or our business, our forms, you know, as the others were, but we might be judging. be looking around saying, you know, that one, I, you know, this or that, or whatever we do, making judgments, making preconceived notions about people, and not really being there. So I think, you know, what would be maybe a little examination for us today for ourselves is to look at the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13, because he describes what love, the qualities of love. And I think that's the garment that we all have to strive for. These are the virtues, you might say, of love. And of course, the first one is humility. Now we're coming and beating ourselves, but we're coming realizing that each one of us is a child of God. And as St. Paul says in the letter to the Philippians, always see the other is more important than yourself. That's humility. It doesn't mean you're worth nothing. You know, to keep us in check, the other person's always...
but we're not better than they are either.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, love, St. Paul in the letter to the Corinthians, first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13 says, love is always patient. And so the garment of patience, you know, we look at ourselves, and this is always the examination. The Word of God allows us the opportunity, and this again is why he invites us Sunday after Sunday to receive his love in the Eucharist and to hear his word so we can look at ourselves. And so are we patient? Have we been impatient? And if we're living a life in a now we all get impatient. I mean, let's be real.
Right.
We all get impatient, but if we're living in a permanent state of impatience, then we're not loving, then we don't have the right clothing for the wedding feast. Love is kind. Again, how have we treated others? Again, is it a permanent state? Or we make mistakes, we become impatient, we become unkind to someone. Okay, so there's the sacrament of reconciliation, of penance, of going and confessing that lack of kindness on a particular occasion. Or if it's something deeper that I need, may need some spiritual direction or some pastoral counseling to help me get beyond whatever it is that's bothering me. Love is never jealous. Again, do I come to Mass or am I part of the Christian community and jealous of everyone and everything?
Right.
So if so, then we are represented by this man in the gospel this morning who was not properly clothed because of our jealousy. Love is not boastful or conceited. I mean, I think St. Paul in this letter to the Corinthians covers everybody.
Right.
If we're full of conceit because of who we are, what our background is, or our accomplishments, you know, that's not the way we arrive to celebrate the kingdom on a Sunday, or certainly not the way we arrive in eternal life. There's no boasting in heaven.
Right.
And St. Paul even said that, may I boast of nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ, because he understood that everything was a grace. And Paul had a lot of talents he could boast about, but his only boast was in Christ. It's never conceited, thinking I'm better than everybody else. It's never rude. And just the way that, you know, even the way that we interact with people in everyday life, at work or in the car.
If we're in a hurry.
In a hurry, and we're really rude to people. It never seeks its own advantage, St. Paul says, and it never takes offense or stores up grievances. Now, this is the Jerusalem translation, so it may sound a little different. But I think there, again, is a real call to us today, being invited people. We're all invited. But if we come... Or if not just come to Mass physically, and of course that's the physical expression of this invitation. This is the celebration. But also throughout our life, we're always invited to live the Christian life. But if we're doing so, piling up grievances about everybody and everyone else, you know, look what they've done to me, look what my past, and we build up this wall that nobody can get in, then neither can the Lord get in. And so I'll never hear the call to conversion. I'll never hear the gospel the way it's being should be spoken to us, because I've built up resentments, grievances against other people. That's an offense to love.
Hardened your heart.
We've hardened our hearts, and that's the wedding garment that's improper in the kingdom of God and in the church. And finally, St. Paul says it does not rejoice at wrongdoings. In other words, someone else falls, someone else makes a mistake, maybe somebody I don't really particularly like, and we make fun of it. We gossip about it, and we go on and on and on. That is an improper.
Or we cheer.
Yes.
Whoa.
And there's that is the improper garment
right.
for the children of God invited to the kingdom. So I think I've always found this first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 13 really a guiding point for understanding how to live the Christian life and how to do so in the church. And that's where it goes on, where it says, you know, that you may have a gift. People think they may have the gift of prophecy. They might be able to teach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you don't have love, which are these characteristics I just named, you don't have anything. I mean, in any kind of ministry in the church, any kind of teaching in the church, without those wedding garments of the kingdom, really invalidates what we're doing.
Right.
So that is really the central message
of
the Christian
message.
Faith. And I think that that is really what Jesus is inviting us to. He's inviting us to live by the Spirit of God, which all these are gifts of the Holy Spirit, to live by these spirits in a simple way, knowing that we're invited to live our life this way, and we're invited every Sunday to Eucharist to hear the Word of God and to receive His love. That is gift. And let us come this Sunday not only bowing our heads and our knees, but bowing our hearts to love God and to love our neighbor above all things. Put everything else in the second place.
A lot for us to reflect on as we're in church this Sunday and throughout the week. So, Bishop, if you could end our segment with a closing prayer and blessing, please.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we gather this morning at around the table of your word and around the table of your Eucharist and life, we ask your blessing upon us and our families, our world, and especially upon the unborn and all those whose lives are at risk and lack the dignity of human respect. May you bless our week and give us the strength to do your will in all things. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. Have a safe rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.